historical occasion when His Divine Grace Sesi
Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada
personally came in this very temple and performed in Prana Pratishtha for the installation of their Lordship Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. He personally offered aarti to the deities, and on this very floor, Srila Prabhupada danced in ecstasy. Perhaps the most famous and favorite of all videos and photographs of Srila Prabhupada was when he raised his arms and began dancing in transcendental love before the beautiful deities of Sri Radha Gokulananda. Have all of you seen this photo? Please see. It's everywhere. Practically in every temple in the world, somewhere they have in a frame this beautiful photograph. And it was even filmed. Srila Prabhupada was leaping in the air, dancing so blissfully, and he induced everyone in the temple to chant like they'd never chanted before. By Srila Prabhupada's incredible enthusiasm to chant the holy names, he induced the whole temple to become the spiritual world. For everyone was leaping, dancing, and singing the holy names with so much devotion. Because the nature of a great personality is by his bhakti or her bhakti, they extract the original spiritual devotion within our own hearts. And the most wonderful exhibition of that took place 25 years ago as of next Janmashtami right here in this temple. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, by his own example, taught us how there is no need to fear anything of this world if we are together with Vaishnavas chanting the holy names. I would like to share one story in this regard with your kind permission. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so much longing to go to Vrindavan after he took initiation from Ishwarapuri in Gaya. In the middle of the night, he just secretly left all of his associates and began running to Vrindavan, crying out, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And a voice came from the sky and told him that you are the Supreme Personality of God. And you have personally descended to inaugurate the Harinam Sankirtan movement, to teach the whole world how to be delivered from all the fears and miseries of this world through the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy names. You should not go to Vrindavan now. On another time you may go. But now, my Lord, please fulfill your mission. Return to Navadvip and begin the Harinam Sankirtan. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his great compassion and love for the souls who had forsaken him and thus endure so much suffering in this world of birth and death, he put aside his own inner desire to go to Vrindavan. And he returned to Navadvip. And along with Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Srivas Thakur and Advaitacharya, Radha Pandit, and such devotees, he began having kirtans throughout the night at Srivas's house, and then a little later through the streets of Navadvip every day. And thus, all the villages, the towns, and the cities around became so much attracted to the beautiful qualities of Lord Chaitanya's love, and everyone was chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But some people were so proud of their high birth, of their great learning, of their physical beauty and wealth, that they would not accept the chanting of the holy names or respect the Vaishnavas. So for their sake, Lord Chaitanya left his friends, his family, and everything, and took sannyas to reach them. And after he took sannyas from Kesha Kashmiri, Kesha Bharati Maharaj in Katwa, immediately he started running to Vrindavan. This was his great desire. But Nityananda Prabhu understood the Lord's innermost desire. Although Lord Chaitanya for himself so much longed to return to his eternal abode of Vrindavan, he knew that to please his devotees is a deeper and greater desire of the Lord than even to go to Vrindavan. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu played a trick and through a cowherd boy directed Lord Chaitanya back to Shantipur, the opposite direction. And there his mother was waiting for him, Sachi Mata. She came actually just after Lord Chaitanya, within a day or two. And she requested Lord Chaitanya to reside in Jagannath Puri so she would not have to bear the intensive, unbearable separation from her beloved son. So Lord Chaitanya went to Jagannath Puri. But still, it was his great yearning to go to Vrindavan. And the devotees tried to stop him in so many ways. But one time he said, "Now I will go to Vrindavan." So everyone said, "Then we will come with you." So Lord Chaitanya was going to Vrindavan. And Maharaj Prataparudra, who was the great king, he had great power and wealth. His whole kingdom was only for the purpose of serving the devotees and facilitating them. He ordered his ministers that everything we have in our king's treasury, if needed, use it all to make the devotees' trip to Vrindavan convenient. Every time they came to a river, the king's own boats were there to take the devotees across. Three times a day during their travels, he arranged places with big, big stocks of food grains and a wonderful feast for Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates. They planned ahead where everything where he would be in the evening, there would be wonderful, wonderful living conditions. He spent practically everything of the king's treasury just to facilitate and please the Lord's devotees. And as Lord Chaitanya was traveling, he was constantly singing Krishna's holy names in the ecstasy of divine separation. And soon, hundreds of people were there. Then there were thousands, then tens of thousands, then hundreds of thousands. There were millions of people following behind Lord Chaitanya. Wherever he would walk, thousands of people would go to get the dust of his footprints. And there were holes in the ground every place he touched his foot to the ground because everyone was taking that dust and bathing their bodies with it. It is said that Lord Chaitanya, in his love for Krishna, sometimes would weep. And when he would weep, people could hear it from 2 miles away. And anyone who heard this weeping, their hearts would melt, and they would come running to that place. And when they would see Lord Chaitanya, he would raise his arms and order them, "Haribo!" And all of the people would begin to chant the holy names of Krishna with their arms raised. Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Dhananjaya Prabhu, Dhanavad. How are you? Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Then they came to the village. Actually, it was a city. Of Ramakeshi.
most dangerous place in the whole world for a Vaishnava to be. Because Ramakeli was the capital of the most violent, cruel, atrocious, Hindu-hating king, whose name was the Nawab Husain Shah. He was famous for going to Orissa and literally breaking to pieces millions of deities in the temples of the Hindus. And he was so violent and so close-minded in his views of life that if he heard anyone chanting the holy names, if he saw anyone practicing any Hindu rituals or Vedic rituals, he would torture that person, plunder the person, and often kill that person. It is said that any pious person, if the breeze from the wind touched the king and then touched them, they would run and jump in the Ganges. What to speak if they were touched by his shadow? They would consider themselves covered with sins. He wreaked so much fear in the hearts of everyone. Anyways, nobody would dare perform any spiritual activities unless they were completely hidden in secret. And Lord Chaitanya came right into the city of Ramakeli, and with his arms raised, he was telling everyone, chant the holy names. And there were millions of people chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing and dancing and chanting. Whether it was day or night, he didn't even consider. He was immersed in chanting his own holy name. So one time, a policeman came to the Nawab Husain Shah, and he said, "There is a foreigner who has come to our kingdom. I have never seen anything like this person." And the king asked, "Tell me about him." He said, "First of all, just to look at him, he's very, very tall. And his arms extend below his knees. And his complexion is like pure molten gold. And his eyes are like fully blossomed lotus petals. And his neck is like that of a lion. And his shoulders are like that of an elephant. And he's decorated with the beautiful saffron robes of a sannyasi. And his arms are raised high, and he's constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna. He never stops chanting the holy names of Krishna. And as he's chanting, tears start to flow like from his eyes. It appears like hundreds and thousands and millions of rivers are flowing from his eyes, the way he is crying. And his hairs are standing up on end. And he jumps and jumps and jumps. It appears that he jumps hundreds of times within a minute. And when he jumps, he comes down to the ground and just falls. And as he crashes, the stones and the rocks and the boulders break to pieces under his body. And yet his body feels no pain. And his body appears to be softer and butter." He said, I have seen so many philosophers and so many yogis and so many gurus, but I have never seen anyone possessing such love. And when he raises his arms and induces people to chant, nobody could resist. Millions and millions and millions of people, I don't know where they've come from. They've come from all directions. They are all tumultuously chanting the holy names of Krishna. He said, "I believe that this person has come to give your kingdom the greatest fortune." Nawab Husain Shah then called for his own minister, who was a devotee. His name was Keshava Khan. And he asked Keshava Khan, who is this sannyasi named Sri Krishna Chaitanya? I heard that there are millions of people coming to see and hear his dancing and chanting. And Keshava Khan knew what a cruel person the Nawab Hussain Shah was. So he told him that actually you cannot believe all rumors. He is just a simple sannyasi. He goes door to door, he begs, he gets some alms, that's all. There's nothing special about him. He was speaking like this because he felt if the Nawab Hussain Shah heard how great he was, he may attack. So he said, please, please, no, he's very ordinary. He's just a beggar, like so many beggars that come. When Nawab Hussain Shah heard this, he said, what are you saying? Why are you committing this offense against him? You're calling him an ordinary beggar? He has come to bless our kingdom. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the absolute truth. He is who the Hindus call Krishna and the Muslims call Allah. He has descended to this world to give his causeless mercy to everyone. Just by seeing him, he is inducing millions of people to surrender to the Lord and to serve him. He said, I am the king of this whole land of Bengal. And if I do not give food and salary to my servants, after 6 months they will all have revolution against me, or they will abandon me. But this simple sannyasi, he's not giving them anything. They're coming out of their own free will and surrendering their lives to him, willing to do any service for him. Because I may be the king of my little kingdom, but he is the king of all of existence. He is the king of the world, the universe, the creation. He is the king of all kings. And you are committing such an offense. You are calling him an ordinary beggar. I hereby declare, the Nawab Hussain Shah said, that anyone, whether they be a qazi, whether they be a governor, whether they be a king, anyone, if they in any way, shape, or form disturb his preaching of Harinam Sankirtan, I will personally end that troublemaker's life. It is my declaration that he can preach from his scripture and spread love of God everywhere and anywhere without hindrance. Declare this to the public. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. This is the power of just hearing about Lord Chaitanya. The Nawab Hussain Shah never even saw him. He just heard once his glories and how his heart melted. And his whole life was transformed. Bani is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Some of you may feel that you were not here 26 years ago to see when Sri, or 24 years ago, when Srila Prabhupada installed the beautiful deities of Sri Sri Radha Gokulam. Dhananjaya Prabhu was here. He was one of the most instrumental personalities in facilitating this wonderful pastime of Srila Prabhupada. But factually, just by hearing about Srila Prabhupada, just by reading his books, just by hearing from devotees who have witnessed his wonderful mercy and compassion, your heart can be completely transformed just by that sound vibration. Srila Prabhupada told us, when we hear the pastimes of Krishna or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or any of the great devotees or any of the avatars, if we hear with a submissive heart, we are actually witnessing that pastime. The Lord and his eternal associates, their lila is not limited to time and space according to our conceptions. They live through sound. And here is an example. just by hearing the glories of Lord Chaitanya, the most sinful, envious person, his heart melted, and he wanted to give everything to support the Lord's mission. So when the devotees heard this, they became so happy that now Hussain Shah is supporting the Harinam Sankirtan movement. But other saintly persons became very fearful, because they knew this man has broken millions of deities. He has killed hundreds of thousands of devotees. Somehow or other, he's heard good things about Lord Chaitanya. So he's temporarily in the mode of goodness. But if somebody gives him bad advice, and he goes back into the mode of ignorance, he can send his armies and personally attack everybody. So it will be safer if Lord Chaitanya leaves this place. So the Brahmins, and they wrote a letter after meeting. And the letter wrote, "My dear Lord, please do not stay here, because this is the place of the king." So they sent one messenger, and he had the note. And he went to Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya was dancing, and he was singing. And when Lord Chaitanya was dancing and singing, there was no question of any managerial considerations. There was only a kirtan. That was it. And same with devotees. They were just chanting and dancing. It is said when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing Sankirtan, even his closest associates could not tell him anything. All they could do was dance with him and sing with him. So he was singing and dancing and singing and dancing. And soon the day ended and it was night. And he sang and danced through the night. And then the night ended and it was day. And he sang and danced through the day. And the day ended and it was night. And the night ended and it was day. And the day ended and it was night. And the messenger, "When am I going to ever get him his message? How could I get him his message?" So then he came to the very close associates of Lord Chaitanya and said, "Please tell Lord Chaitanya that it is not safe for him to be remaining here in the village of the king." But the people were completely fearless. Just by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, they abandoned all fear of any material consideration. Even before the king made this declaration, anyone who in any way outwardly or publicly showed any faith in Krishna, he would punish, plunder, and kill. But left by Lord Chaitanya's association, everyone came right beside the king's own palace, and they were dancing in ecstasy fearlessly with their arms raised, chanting very loudly the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Dhananjaya Prabhu could tell us so many millions of stories, I'm sure, of how Srila Prabhupada made devotees fearless. Recently, I was with Malati Mataji. She was telling how they were just ordinary people living somewhere in a mountain in Oregon. And they were just doing everything in very conventional, normal, not normal by society, but normal by the young people's standards of the day. And then Srila Prabhupada came into their life. He had such enthusiasm to spread this movement everywhere, anywhere. And he would just send devotees, go to San Francisco, start a center. Go to London and start a center. These people, they had no money. They had no friends. They had no contacts. They hardly even knew the philosophy. There were no books. But simply by his enthusiasm, they could go anywhere, they could do anything and be successful. Because they were surcharged by the spiritual enthusiasm of a great personality. The book distributors, just by Srila Prabhupada's, the power of his desire to distribute these books, shy people who were social dropouts, who couldn't even talk to people publicly, were going out and distributing sometimes over 1,000 books a day in airports to the most sophisticated people in the world. How was it possible? It was not possible. There was no material consideration. It was simply the shakti of a great soul. They became fearless. They understood, with Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we can do anything, as long as it's what he wants for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the source of all fearlessness. And therefore, no one considered life or death. They only considered doing the will of the Lord. So the Lord was dancing and singing and chanting day after day, and even the devotees were becoming, we should tell the Lord this message. Then Lord Chaitanya understood, and he somewhat came into external consciousness. And he stopped the kirtan. And he told the devotees, why are you afraid? What is there to be afraid? He said, if the king wants to come and see me, let him come and see me. If I do not give him the power to come, he cannot come. And if he wants to speak something to me, let him come, because if I do not give him the power to speak, not a word can come from his mouth or anyone else's mouth. Why are you afraid? We have the holy name of Krishna, the source of all fearlessness. He said, even Yamaraj fears me. He said, even death fears me. What do you have to fear? I have descended into this world to propagate the congregation chanting of Krishna's holy name. I have descended in this world to give every living being the opportunity to achieve pure, unalloyed love of God. And it is in this story that Lord Chaitanya quotes that beautiful verse, in every town and village, my holy name will be chanted. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dispelled all fear or all misconceptions in everyone's heart. And the devotees continued their wonderful kirtan. But to please the devotees, the Lord stopped the kirtan after so many days and nights. During all those days and nights, nobody slept. Millions of people, no sleeping, no eating, no drinking, nothing. Only Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
This is Lord Chaitanya's movement. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. And everything else we do is only to support and to propagate that. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. Devala Ananda Kanda. This joyful process. That night, the two chief ministers of the Nawab Husain Shah, whose name were Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik, they disguised themselves along with their brother, whose name was Anupam, and they came to Lord Chaitanya's residence. First they met Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. And they brought them in to see Lord Chaitanya. And they fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. They were multi-millionaires. They had so much power that the king would not do anything without getting their advice. They were learned, they were beautiful, they were young, They had all opulence as anyone could desire. They fell at Lord Chaitanya's feet with straw between their teeth and with cloth around their necks, which is the symbol of completely submitting oneself before a superior. And they laid flat in the floor like sticks, dandavat. And they cried, they wept, offering obeisances. They were so humble they could not even stand up before the Lord. Lord Chaitanya had to personally lift them up and embrace them. And they began to offer prayers, such beautiful prayers, that we are the most fallen, we are the most wicked, most sinful, most degraded. We have been servants of such a cruel materialistic malecha. Therefore, we are worse than him. If a little tiny dwarf desires to touch the moon, what is his hope? In the same way, we are hoping to receive your mercy, although we have no qualifications. But yet you are all merciful. So we have nowhere else to go and no one else to turn to except you. In their complete submission of humility, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to weep. He said, "Your humility is breaking my heart." And he personally placed his lotus feet on their heads. And right then and there, he initiated them. He gave them the names Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And after speaking so many wonderful exchanges, Lord Chaitanya ordered them to leave their government service and go to Vrindavan. And Sanatana Goswami said to Lord Chaitanya that this is not a safe place. The Nau Hussein Shah, his mind could change at any moment. So you should depart. However, my Lord, let me submit one thought. That you are going to Vrindavan with millions and millions of people. Vrindavan is a very solitary forest. You will not be able to appreciate Vrindavan with such an entourage. And the people of Vrindavan will think you're some sort of a magician coming to show how many followers you have. So it is better if you go alone or with one or two others only. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at his first very historical meeting with Srila Sanatana Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami on that night. And he continued. And ultimately he came to a place called Kanai Natashala. Very, very special place. When Lord Chaitanya left Gaya, he went to Kanai Natashala, and it is said that there he saw Krishna directly. And then Krishna disappeared. And then he was induced by that experience to be completely immersed in separation of Sri Radharani for Krishna for the rest of his wonderful pastimes in this earth. Also, there was a devotee named Narasinghananda Brahmachari, whose other name was Pradyumna. And Srila Prabhupada tells the story how when Lord Chaitanya was on his way to Vrindavan during this trip, first, one of the places he stopped was Nagadweep. Very beautiful story of what happened there. He forgave all those who had offended against him and gave them all love of God. And then he decided to proceed. And Narasinghananda Brahmachari was a simple brahmachari. He had no wealth. He had no possessions. All he had was the desire to serve. So he decided that when Lord Chaitanya goes to Vrindavan, he should go in the most comfortable possible way, and he should enjoy himself as far as I can possibly give him the opportunity to enjoy himself. So Nrsingananda Brahmachari sat in meditation and began to construct roads and landscapes. First, he widened the road and he covered it with millions and millions of flowers without stems. And there were also beautiful, beautiful jewels in the road, rubies and diamonds and gold and silver and emeralds. And then on the sides of this wonderful, soft, flower-laid road that would give so much pleasure to the Lord's feet, there were lakes, beautiful, clear water lakes, the waters each tasting like nectar. And there were swans and peacocks, cuckoos singing, all kinds of beautiful, beautiful, auspicious trees like mango trees, banyan trees, and kadamba trees, tamal trees. And as Lord Chaitanya was dancing through the paths with the millions of people behind him, he only saw what Nrsimhananda Brahmachari had constructed in his mind. Through this wonderful story, Lord Chaitanya wanted to show that bhakti is not based on the external appearance of what we can do. It is based on our heart. Even if you have nothing, if you have that genuine desire to serve, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, Guru, will accept the service we are rendering in our hearts. Of course, we have to do everything within our capacity physically to do it. But it is not a question of rich people can do a lot of service and poor people cannot do a lot of service. Through this incident, we see in the Lord's heart, even the poorest man performed service that no wealthy man could possibly ever afford, despite his love, his devotion. So he was just going inch by inch, block by block, kilometer by kilometer, mile by mile, he was constructing this road. And then he came to the place of Kanainatashala. And he could not construct anything beyond that. His mind just would not be able to make anything. So he told the devotees, and this was many days before Lord Chaitanya came there. He said, the Lord will not go beyond Kanainatashala. From there he will come back to Jagannath Puri. He will not go to Vrindavan. And the devotees were wondering, what are you saying? We know you're a great soul, but how can you say these things? But the words of this great soul came true. So through this wonderful story, we understand many beautiful lessons. How just by hearing the glories of the Lord, even the most hard-hearted person's heart can melt. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, they have sung, how is it that our hearts are not melting? Even Shukadev Goswami describes in Srimad Bhagavatam, even if one's heart is harder than steel, steel frame heart, it will melt upon hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting his holy names. But yet we are hearing and we are chanting sometimes for years and our heart is not melted. This means my heart must be harder, colder, than steel or stone. But by hearing from the right sources regularly, with a submissive heart, with a desire to serve, gradually, just that sound vibration will undoubtedly transform our consciousness and awaken our original consciousness. Or Krishna consciousness. So the very basis and essence of this great, great mission of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to hear the glories of the Lord, to come together with sincere devotees and congregationally chant the holy names of the Lord. And in that association, to work together in harmony, with respect, to somehow or other spread the glories of the Sankirtan movement according to our capacity, everywhere. Lord Chaitanya looked through the Prabhupada. He pushed us and pushed us again and again to keep our sadhana very good, to hear Bhagavad class every day, to study his books, to hear Srimad Bhagavad Gita class, to chant our 16 rounds each day, to come together morning time, evening time, to dance happily amongst devotees and chant the holy names in front of the deities or in the streets, and to work very, very hard, unitedly, to give this message to others. And if we simply do this, we will be protected from all dangers. If we do this according to Srila Prabhupada's divine instruction, Maya cannot ever take us away. She has no power. But if we compromise these principles, then we invite Maya to come and steal our hearts away. This is a very special opportunity we all have. Srila Prabhupada is most famous for singing and dancing in this temple room. The photograph and video that astounds people's hearts to this day is Prabhupada's dance on Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda's appearance day here in Sri Bhaktivedanta. So let us keep this picture of Guru Maharaj standing right there, not standing, jumping, dancing right there in ecstasy. Let us keep it always within our heart. Let it be our inspiration to understand his desire, to dance, to chant, to work together wonderfully, to spread his mission. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakti Vrinda ki jai. Thank you very much. Anyone would like to ask? Yes.
When you talked about Maya, you said she.
Would
you like to elaborate on
that? This nice devotee is asking us why we refer to Maya as she. Because she is the expansion of the female potency of the Supreme Personality of God. In the spiritual world, the presiding deity is Srimati Radhara, who is Krishna's divine pleasure potency. And it is she who conquers Krishna by her love and engages everyone within the entire spiritual existence in the service of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains the love of Sri Radharani is so great. She is Madan Mohan Mohini. Madan Mohan means Krishna, who can conquer even the force of Cupid in this world. But Srimati Radharani conquers even the conqueror of Cupid. That is the power of her love. And in this material world, that same Srimati Radharani expands herself as Parvati or Durga. and she's the superintendent of material energy. And her wonderful service to the Lord is to keep anyone who is not sincere out of the spiritual world by tempting them with so many material desires within this existence. So that is Maya, the potency of the Lord in the material world. Does that answer your question? Yes.
Maharaj, in Krishna consciousness, we're supposed to be attracted to Krishna. So, after hearing your class, it's like, it makes one much more enthusiastic to want to be in the association of the great devotees of the Lord, who are embodiments of Krishna. But why is it that Lord Chaitanya was so attracted to Krishna, but after hearing...
I wouldn't come to the temple if you're not here. I do enjoy classes. And that's the honest fact. Hey, Bo.
No, I'm not going to ask you to I'm fun as always here. And Radha Gokulananda, Gorni Thai, Sitaram Lakshmi Hanumanji, all the previous acharyas are here in this temple. So many wonderful devotees.
It's not the same, it's never the same.
Anyways, you're expert in encouraging me, so I'm thankful. I require encouragement. And it is my great honor and privilege to serve all of you whenever I have the good fortune. But because of my sinful nature, I'm not allowed to come so much. Thank you, Mother. Is there any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, in the material world, the mind has the tendency of this flickering. How can one genuinely give his word without being fearful that he will obey the instructions of a spiritual master?
One must be very sincere, and one must protect oneself. Srila Prabhupada gave us a lifestyle and a type of association which protects us from falling victim to the flickering mind. If we know our mind is so flickering, how much we should be running into the association of devotees? How much we should be fearful of becoming too intimate with materialistic people in the sense that we share their types of lives and their types of social pleasures. If we know how flickering our mind is, how much we should be determined to chant our 16 rounds every day? How much we should be utilizing whatever time we have to perform some service, to read Srila Prabhupada's books? Srila Prabhupada has given us the ways by which we can protect ourselves from our flickering mind. And it is definite. If we don't really seriously take shelter of these spiritual disciplines, then our flickering mind will divert our attention away from Krishna, back into material consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said that one who thinks he can be Krishna conscious without the association of genuine devotees is insane. Prabhupada used the word insane. And what does it mean to associate with devotees? Is to discuss how to improve our spiritual lives, to encourage each other, to chant our japa, to read the books, to come to the temple, to chant, to dance, to think of more and more ways of spreading the glories of the Lord, to think of more and more ideas of how to give Guru and Gauranga's compassion to others. This is what association of devotees means. To chant, to dance, to feast together. We cannot make it without that type of association. But if we take shelter of that association, our flickering mind will have no power. We can control that mind. But as soon as we step outside of that, we are in the jurisdiction of the mind. One can live at home, one can have a family. It's not that one has to live in the temple, but one's home should be a temple. Krishna should be in the center. We should create that satsang, that association within our own homes, and amongst other grihasthas, and come to the temple together whenever possible, to meet with everyone.
This is the social culture that Lord Chaitanya has established and Srila Prabhupada has brought to the world. And by following these disciplines carefully, we'll be protected by our own love, from our own minds. Yes.
Maharaj, why do we study Srimad Bhagavatam when it's much more intimate, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita? It's like we're trying to grab what Chaitanya's chasing after. It's like we're trying to conceive what Lord Chaitanya has conceived. But it's like it's inconceivable.
If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, part one, the introduction, what does Srila Prabhupada discuss? Who can say? He tells the life story of Lord Chaitanya. The introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada spends so many pages describing the story of Lord Chaitanya's life. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lives Srimad Bhagavatam in personal form, reincarnated in this earth. Srimad Bhagavatam was written by Veda Vyas 5,000 years ago on the banks of the river Saraswati. He received the order from Narada Muni. And Srimad Bhagavatam deals only with exclusive unalloyed devotion to Krishna. Dharma Purojita Kaita Vatra kicks out all sub-religious principles, economic development, sense gratification, religiosity, or even liberation, artha, kama, dhamma, moksha. Srimad Bhagavatam exclusively deals with pure unalloyed bhakti. And it culminates, after telling the stories of Narada Muni, Shukadeva Goswami, the Pandavas, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, the Prachetas, Ambarish Maharaj, it describes the beautiful descent of Krishna. And more than any other Vedic literature, it goes into great detail about the life of Krishna when he appeared on this earth. In his Vrindavan Lila, Mathura Lila, and Dwarka Lila. It is the spotless Purana, the essence, the cream of all Vedic knowledge. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was Krishna himself, descended to this world as the very embodiment of the principles of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam teaches pure devotion. Lord Chaitanya came in the guise of a devotee to teach pure devotion. He taught nothing but the pure principles of Srimad Bhagavatam. So you cannot understand Lord Chaitanya without understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Lord Chaitanya did nothing but teach the essence of life, which is the Bhagavad's philosophy. So there is no difference between the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
So I should be reading it then.
Huh?
I was going to stop reading it and start reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but you can carry it when you keep reading it.
You can read both. Srila Prabhupada has given us both by his costly service. Is there any other questions,
Maharaj?
Yes,
Prabhupada. I've read in some books and some magazines that education in the material world is mundane and a waste of time. I'm going to ask you, A, is it mundane and a waste of time? And two, is there any way we can use this education for the service of Krishna? And if so, how?
Whatever is not utilized in Krishna's service is a waste of time. Because human life is meant for self-realization. And every moment we have, if it is not used for that purpose, is a waste. So education, if it is learned for the purpose of being utilized in Krishna's service, with the earnest vow and desire that it will be used in Krishna's service, then even learning education is devotional service. connect.